going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Seth, is it fair to say that Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft has evolved into the one that, at least here in Houston, it's the one we trust the most, based almost entirely on the prediction of the Will Anderson trade 2 years ago?
Well, the thing about the mock drafts are that I try not to get too hung up on whether guys nail the selections or not. I just want the reasons for why they're making their selections. How plugged in are they? And Daniel Jeremiah, you know for a fact, just has lots of conversations with lots of front offices. And I think a lot of people, he's in that spot where I think a lot of teams actually like Daniel Jeremiah's input. And that if he writes it or says it, maybe sometimes they want to have conversations with him about it. So, yeah, I like his mock drafts, not because I expect him to nail every pick, but because some of the little tidbits or the reasons that he does it, it comes from a very informed place.
I agree. All right, so with that in mind, let's get to the Texans pick here. And he does not have the Texans. Daniel Jeremiah, as we know, will put trades into his mock draft. Again, he did it with Will Anderson 2 years ago and nailed that one. He does not have the Texans moving out of 25. So with the 25th overall pick in the Daniel Jeremiah NFL.com mock draft, the Houston Texans select Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama, and he says this: the Texans are intent on changing the culture of their offensive line room, and Booker, how about this, Seth? And Booker's intangibles are as highly regarded as any I've come across in my time scouting offensive linemen. Do you think there's as good a chance that they trade up for Tyler Booker as it is they would trade up for Kelvin Banks?
Okay, that's an interesting one, because I think Tyler Booker is regarded by a lot of people, mostly because he tested poorly at the combine, as a guy that might not go in the first round at all. So I think that's one that there'll be two schools. One, a lot of people will be excited just because everything that Daniel Jeremiah just said about Tyler Booker, he's produced at a very high level at Alabama for a long time. People will be excited that the Texans did what they wanted to do to go get that guy. I think the hardcore draft Knicks will be disgusted with Nick for trading up so heavily for a guy that he could have gotten at 25.
Yeah.
I know how this works. That is immediately what everybody says with certainty, invalid certainty, like, oh no, you could have gotten this guy later.
Yeah.
You never know that. You never know what anybody else's draft board looks like.
Okay, this is my gut. You tell me if I'm being crazy on this one here. I feel like there is a chance he trades up for Tyler Booker, but maybe his threshold or his stomach for doing so is a lower amount of slots than it would be for Kelvin Banks. Like, hey, I'm willing to trade up. I'm willing to, and maybe it's positional because Banks can play tackle for you and guard's not a premium position. I don't know. Or Banks is just more highly regarded and you have to move up higher to get him. But if I put the over under at slots, Nick would move up to go get Kelvin Banks, I'd put it at 10.5, right?
Right.
And with Booker, I'd put it at like 4.5, something like that.
In this mock draft, Kelvin Banks is gone by pick 6.
Yes.
The Raiders take him. And this, again, Jeremiah's logic here, and who knows about his conversations with various people, is that Kelvin Banks played with Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian was with Pete Carroll, so has a relationship there. There's probably a really good relationship. So, and the Raiders obviously could use an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Banks, for me, is It seems like people are pretty convinced he's going to go in the top 15.
Yes.
Which makes it, and I don't, I know that there's these reports that Caserio would trade up into the top 15. I'm just, I'm not 100% convinced of either of those things right now.
I agree. As far as Daniel Jeremiah's draft goes, and by the way, the other players on the board when the Texans pick at 25, we always get people asking that. Like, who else was there? Good question. The next five picks were Omarion Hampton, running back North Carolina. I'm going to tell you right now, if Omarion Hampton is on the board at 25, I there will be a small part of me that would be like, it'd be kind of fun. You know, a top-shelf running back at 25. I don't think Texan fans would be wild about it. Kenneth Grant, your guy. Goes to Baltimore,
man. And that's my old rule. It's like, if a guy I like goes to Baltimore, and he falls to Baltimore, dude, I get really PO'd.
And he turns into the next Justin Matabike, playing next to Justin Matabike, you know?
Yeah.
Donovan Jackson goes 28th to the Lions, so he's on the board there. Jadae Barron, the cornerback out of Texas. Trey Amos, the cornerback out of Ole Miss. Josh Connerly goes 31st to the Chiefs. And then Jahad Campbell closes things out with the Eagles at 32. So there's in the next six picks after the Texans pick, Seth, there's at least three, maybe four guys that are super intriguing for the Texans there.
I think the other thing, too, is I know that we had one of our listeners this morning, and we've gotten this a lot, is a lot of people really want Josh Simmons. Hey, if Josh Simmons is there at 25, I'm very, very skeptical of Josh Simmons. Maybe he ends up being an all-pro offensive tackle, but he's coming off a torn patellar tendon, and there have been concerns voiced about his maturity. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I'm in the appetite for right now. So in this draft, I don't think, Simmons doesn't go in the first round in Daniel Jeremiah.
He doesn't, there you go. I mean,
that's where, like, the character concerns, or maturity, I should say, maturity concerns. That's always take those with a huge grain of salt. And yet, I feel like more times than not, when there are anonymous reports of maturity concerns, there are reasons that there are maturity concerns.
Well,
when the player ends up playing well, it's because he actually addresses it.
Yeah.
He'll come out and talk about it 3 years later, like, he had some growing up to do.
If you had to guess, do you think Josh Simmons, if he were to slip like that, do you think it has more to do with the injury, the patellar tendon injury, than the maturity stuff?
I don't know if it's impossible. I think it's a combined package. It's that you've got two. It's one thing that, I can deal with one. It's like when you're watching a movie and they do one thing where they bring one person back from life. And you're like, all right, I can let that slide. But then all of a sudden you realize, like, all these different people are coming back from the dead. They're rising up from the dead. So, like, it doesn't even matter if somebody gets killed. No.
Not a Days of Our Lives fan, I see, Seth, huh?
Happened multiple times?
Daytime soap operas bring people back, and usually they have amnesia when they bring them back, and they think they're somebody else. And then they finally realize, 2 months into the storyline that that's right, I'm Patch Johnson, and it's a very big moment, you know?
That's why I couldn't enjoy the end of the one Marvel movie where half the characters die.
Yeah.
And, like, there's people in the theater crying and everything. I'm like, what? Do you guys not understand capitalism? There's no way in hell.
They just killed a $1 billion empire.
There's no way in hell they're not bringing back a majority. It ruined the movie for me.
Me too.
Because I'm like, me too. All right, well.
Dude, and that's the only Marvel movie. I don't even remember which one it was. But that's the only Marvel movie that I've been to in like the last 15 years. And I'm like, well, this is why I don't go to these things.
It was, why are you guys taking this seriously? Yeah. None of these people, maybe one of them, I don't know what the final body count was, but there's no way in hell they're all staying dead.
Let me get back to what I can take seriously, WWE, okay? You Marvel geeks. All right. So as far as Daniel Jeremiah goes, as far as the other storylines you and I were talking about earlier, Seth, like the big storylines in the draft, he does not have the Browns trading out of two. Travis Hunter goes to the Browns. He does have the magnificent Gladstone landing Ashton Jeanty at five. Based on everything I've heard, this is Daniel Jeremiah talking, from talking to people around the league, the expectation is the Jags will draft either Jeanty or Arizona wide receiver Tet McMillan here. I'll go with the higher-rated player on my board in Jeanty. The interesting thing about McMillan is that when we talk about intangibly rich, there's that video that's circulated of him saying he doesn't even really watch football.
Yeah.
that don't compute to me, T, as Paulie Walnuts would say. Like, that don't compute to me. Intangibly rich, doesn't watch football. Eh.
I'm always torn on that because there are some guys who are really, really good that aren't just like they don't enjoy sitting around. Sometimes it's because they don't like sitting around for 3.5 hours on a Sunday watching the NFL. They just want it. If it's a guy that's just out either working out on his own or whatever, I'm okay with that. You got to put it all in context when you get to know the actual guy.
They've got McMillan landing with, or Daniel Jeremiah does, has him landing with the Cowboys at 12. So
the other big thing there would be is that for a long time, Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan to the Jaguars, was a very, very popular pick. If they don't go with Mason Graham in this draft, he goes down to number 8 to the Panthers.
Carolina.
Don't worry, Texans. If the Texans trade up, I will be astounded if it's for anything other than an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mason Graham's going to be in the conversation.
I'd be intrigued if Tyler Warren started slipping like to 12 or 13.
Oh, okay. You know what? You're exactly right.
That would
You're
be intriguing
right.
to me, you know?
Yeah, if one of those really top-tier guys starts sliding, then.
Yeah.
And hey, you know who else was bad in pass protection last year? The tight ends.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so by virtue of, hey, having tight ends that can hopefully develop into good blockers, but also take pressure off the offensive line by being a receiving threat, that helps out C.J. Stroud, too.
Warren's a dog, man. He is a dog. He's a difference maker. I'd be all for that. If they wanted to trade some of that Tunsil capital to go up and get Tyler Warren, do it, man.
Well, Colson Loveland would be an interesting one.
That one
tight
too.
End out of Michigan as well. Because if he starts, that's a more realistic one that could start sliding down towards 25.
Yep. Jeremiah has the Broncos trading up from 20 to 13 with the Dolphins to draft Loveland. So there you go. All right, that's our final mock draft injection, at least at this time. Maybe we do another one between now and the end of the show, since day one, night one is tonight. We'll see. Let's circle back to the Rockets. They win a big playoff game last night. How sustainable is what they did last night? And is what happened last night the basketball gods compensating us for 2018? We'll find out in the next day or so, but we'll explain coming up next.